If you weren't in love with me, I'm just not sure why, like, why you made love with me.
Really? Come on. There could be 25 women, you could fall in love with one, and she might not feel the same.
I love you.
As far as being in love, I've certainly moved on.
I am in love with you, Jalen.
Well, there's no good way, but this is the best way. People have now meet this way, right?
Hi, everybody.
Hello, me. I'm here, too.
Hi,
Adam. Hi, everyone, from me, too.
Hi, Adam. So this week, we welcome the girls back and Nick's sort of emotional spiral into hometowns.
We brought his nasty hairdo into four new homes.
Right. And, you know, humidity is not really very good for his curls, and you can tell it is really taking a toll on him. Things to mention before we get in, because this episode was pretty fast and furious with a lot of really good, strong information.
It got kind of slow at the beginning, and then it ramped up.
It ramped up hard. So, Adam, do you have anything to say before we start? I mean, you know, how was your weekend?
Should I? I mean,
it's good. Did you, you know, feel like you got a lot of stuff done? It was a holiday.
Yeah, I bought the suit for my wedding.
Oh, cool.
Our wedding.
The wedding.
My wedding.
The wedding.
The wedding.
Yeah.
Between us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we usually tell people about our weekends?
I don't know. I just, you know, it's just, this show has a lot of real good structure to it, so I just thought, you know, I'd say hi.
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 Hi. So, hometown. Right? Why don't we talk about the dates in the show?
Let's do
that. Did you have something that you wanted to say?
No, I'm just saying. I mean,
it's good to see you, too.
It's good to see you. I think one of the things that is worth a mention, and you can tell very much through the rest of the show, Nick likes the drama of a grand gesture. He also, I just don't understand how the girls can still stand to be shocked after all of the non-rose ceremonies that they've had, that they're not having another rose ceremony. It's just not happening anymore.
Let it go. How do you know that they're not having one? Oh, you mean at the beginning?
Yeah, I'm talking about the beginning of the show. Like, when we got the
residuals. I feel like that's the right thing to do. I don't feel like he's trying to be dramatic. I feel like he's trying to not make somebody feel awkward and bad in the middle of a rose ceremony. I feel like it's the polite thing to do. If you're going in, you're like, I know I'm going to eliminate somebody. It's the polite thing to do.
But
just
be
like, listen, I'm not going to make you stand out here and
do this. But that's also the kind of selfish thing that, like, makes somebody look like, I'm a good person, so I'm going to send you home. Like, I'm not going to give you the dignity. I'm going to provide you dignity, and now you're going to feel like I'm a good person.
See, I feel like you're projecting. You can't get upset with him for doing the right thing. We're saying that he wants to be recognized for doing
the right
thing.
I'm not doing that. I'm just saying that Nick is not a nice person.
I don't think he is.
You know, he's creating this noble sort of act for himself by saying, I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to say goodbye to these women because I wish somebody had done that for me.
This is the difference between you and me. I understand that even bad people can occasionally do the right thing, and that good people can occasionally do the wrong thing. I understand that. I play the percentages game, okay? You play the absolute game.
I don't. You wrong me once, f*** you for the rest of your life.
Right, so let's get into these dates. So,
I have themes and titles for each one of these events, so I am very excited.
Why don't you tell us about Raven's theme / title?
Raven's is the Backwood Princess.
Wow. I feel like
we lost one princess and we gained another.
Like they really hammer at home, like, the stereotype
the down
of the
home
city there.
Charm, if
they're
you
like,
will.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to Hokie, Arkansas.
Hoxie, Arkansas.
I said that intentionally, right? They're like, guess what? It's the South. There's barely electricity. We go mudding. People wear cutoffs.
We're hunting frogs. We have a very strong accent. I sound like Britney Spears.
They're playing this, like, bluegrass banjo music.
Yeah. We tell people we love each other on top of grain bins.
I mean, I don't really think that that's
what her hometown is like. ATV, short shorts, mud.
I don't think they really do that there.
I don't either.
I bet they do what people do everywhere else in America. They sit around and watch TV.
And eat.
Yeah.
Like fat people. Yeah. That sounds like America to me. So Nick, you know, again, likes the idea of drama when it is convenient for him. You know, remember that Raven, what?
projecting much or what?
No, Nick has been very clear that he loves drama when it is convenient for him.
Okay.
So, you know, we get to Raven's date. Nick and Raven are rolling around in the mud. It's all very cute. She meets her brother and plays a trick on Nick that it's, oh my God, this cop is pulling us over. Oh, wait, it's my brother. Ha ha ha.
ABC jumps in like, her brother and her ex-boyfriend.
And her ex-boyfriend are both, you know.
Just to make sure we all recognize what Arkansas is.
Right. And it is also not her ex-boyfriend. So they go home.
That we know of.
They go home. It's not her cousin either.
Here I am falling for it.
And there you are. So they go home on Raven's date. And we all remember how Raven brought up at the end of the last episode, her last sort of one-on-one time with Nick, that her dad was diagnosed with lung cancer and she was really scared and worried about it. And, you know, as we know, that really propelled her into the hometowns. So we go home, we meet this wonderful man that is Raven's father, and come to find out, announced on the show, it's an ABC exclusive.
Drama!
That her father is cancer-free, which is wonderful news.
Wonderful for the family. Also, great timing, coincidentally, for this visit.
Yes, coincidentally, great timing for this visit. The other thing that I will also say is, you know, as someone who has heard the news, not me personally, but, you know, thinking of Raven and thinking of the family, as someone who heard the news that your father is no longer battling a life-threatening illness that you can't really do anything about, you know, having some goon walk into your house and ask your daughter for your hand in marriage is pretty small potatoes.
I was expecting to get the same thing, where it was like, she could have dragged in a dead person.
Yeah.
And her dad would have been like, I just got the best news of my life, so whoever this is,
it doesn't matter. She could have brought in Dez's white trash brother, and he would have said, please, take the keys to my car.
He would have said, guess what? My life is going great.
Whatever you want.
I thought that. I mean, I felt like this is like a pretty standard, nothing good hometown date.
Right.
The family was like, there was no drama. Everyone was like, whatever, it's great. You know, the big moment is that she doesn't say I love you to him on this date.
Right, which was surprising because a lot of times at this point, like, the women are falling all over themselves to say I love you to the bachelor.
See, but Raven is a brilliant tactician.
This is something. You say it, Adam. Say it loud.
The first that I can remember, and I've only been watching the show for 9 seasons now.
Long time.
This is the first that I can remember of somebody who has, it seems, intentionally rope-a-doped The Bachelor here. Mm-hmm. She waited past her one-on-one until the very last minute to drop the dad has
my
cancer, like, sob
card.
Story thing, which guaranteed her the rose to basically get into hometown.
Bingo.
She's going to save up the I love you to look kind of different right now, and I guarantee she drops it. She's going to make it through one more rose ceremony.
She's going to drop it at the final two, I think.
She's going to drop it. I think she's going to drop it at the final three to move into the final two.
Pre-sex, post-sex?
Pre.
Okay.
Because you would lose the meeting, and everyone's too smart to realize you would lose the meeting saying it right after you had sex.
Obviously.
I think she's the first really forward-thinking tactician, which proves, number one, that she watches the show.
But you know what? It's not that she's a forward-thinking tactician. I think, like I said in the episode before, she is Kaiser so-saying us, okay? She came in here with this whole, like, I'm from the South, and I own a small clothing business.
I go mudding,
and it is faith, family, and football down here. And then come to find out, she left law school. Which law school, Raven? And then come to find out all this other stuff about her, and come to find out that she knows how to talk, and come to find out she's all of a sudden limping down the street, and then she's not.
I don't know if she does know how to talk. She still says a real nice Tom.
Listen,
R-U-L-L-N-O-S-S-T-O-M.
Hey, man, I said what I said. She is going to outlive all of us. This is basically a Twinkie.
She is playing it uniquely and, from my perspective, pretty brilliantly.
She totally is. She gets a hand clap on that from me.
I don't think it's enough for her to win. I don't think there's enough there on her to win.
He likes somebody else, flat out.
All right.
And speaking of people that Nick likes somebody else, Let's talk about Rachel's
Day. So what is the subtitle for Rachel's Day?
It's called Black Girl Magic, obviously.
I've heard those words before.
Yes, you have.
So they go to Dallas.
Yes.
So they go to Dallas, which from a producer's standpoint is tough because it's also in the South. But
Dallas.
Arkansas is in like the poor, dirty South, and Dallas is like the fancy hats church
fancy
South.
big hair right? South.
So we go to Dallas and to address a handful of elephants.
A number of elephants in the room, hence the title of the episode.
Which one would you like to start with?
I mean, whichever one you'd like to start with, Adam.
I would like to start with the obvious one to me.
Okay.
She cannot win. It doesn't matter how well this goes.
Oh, that's the one you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. So I wrote it down. It seems really strange to me.
It's hard to get invested when you know she's not going to win.
Yeah, I was telling Taylor while we watched this, this is like a Final Destination movie. No matter what you're seeing and no matter what you're enjoying, the cloud is still hanging over every scene
right.
where somebody is not going to make it.
Right, you don't know how it's going to happen, you don't know why it's going to happen. But then it makes it really hard to watch it because, you know, their connection throughout the whole experience was really good and really strong, so I'm kind of like...
It doesn't mean anything.
I know, but
it wasn't good and
strong. I'm just still really conflicted, because I'm like, but you had such a good time, and like, I mean, the way he's like looking at her compared to how he's like looking at everybody else is just very weird.
Yeah, so I think the reality overall is that they do have a good time, and they do get along, but they get along, and they have a good time the second best, and it is... It cannot be the first best.
No.
And that's the only thing that matters.
Unless,
like I rampantly speculated a while ago, he proposes to her and she says no in a great switcheroo.
In a wild, bold prediction.
And ABC would have been Kaiser So Saying Us.
Oh, man.
That would be phenomenal.
It would be phenomenal.
That would be good television.
It would. So, the other thing. So, this date, you know... Because there has never been an instance where a black woman has gotten this far on this show, not just a black woman, but a black person has not gotten this far on the show, has not been seen on this show, for ABC to, and Rachel, I guess, ostensibly, because, you know, she's the one that decides what they're going to do on their date, for her to say, I'm going to really open up and show you what this is like. This being, you know, what is it like for, you know, me as a black woman who is fully and wholly a human being, you know, what I would do on a regular day and where I would bring my boyfriend and that kind of thing. And I just am so excited and almost emotional about the fact that the full, whole representation of a black woman who is not just intelligent, not just as strong, not just as smart, but also wants to be a wife and a mother, all in the same breath, is existing on television, and she's not like someone that has been created by Shonda Rhimes. She's a real person, and that is amazing. So, there. I'm going to say that.
I wish they would have talked about more with the parents, or aired more talking about with the family at home.
What do you mean?
I feel like all they talked about with several different groups of people was, like, have you been with a black girl before? And, like, we get it. It is obvious that they are not the same color of person.
Right. But, I mean, for a show that has never been able to have that kind of conversation, I think it's still important. Yes, do I feel like they could have talked about other things?
They didn't need to show it. They didn't need to show it with the sister and brother-in-law and the mom and the other sister. I mean, there should have been somebody saying, so tell me what you like to do. Tell me what you think you're going to do for a job when the show... Like,
well,
the questions you know everyone is
asking.
Well,
I feel like her mom did ask some of those questions. However, I can understand why it would be something that you would want to bring up. I mean, didn't my parents ask you that?
I don't think it's come up. And also, I don't think it does ABC... a favor to themselves to have the first black family that we've seen in the hometown situation, which, mind you, has a daughter who is a lawyer or an attorney or something, and a father who is a judge.
Federal
who
judge.
Who is on a case or a trial or something that is so important that he can't be on TV right now.
He was appointed by Bill Clinton, guys.
Right. This is a wildly successful family, and I don't think it does ABC any favors to just have the only thing that they're talking about is, like, being a different color. I don't think that helps.
Well, I don't... For me, I think that their success, clearly, and as many of us know, their success does not make them impervious to the negative judgments of other people. So just because they are successful doesn't mean that, you know, that is not something that they worry about and think about. So I think it is amazing that ABC has allowed this to happen. I mean, because let's be clear, you know, they cast Rachel for a reason. But, you know, the fact that they are allowing these kind of conversations to happen, you know, because these are still things that, you know, we worry about, that I worry about with you and that you worry about with me, that need to be addressed and spoken about, that are outside of the four walls that we live in or the people that we know. Because we don't have a problem among the people that we know. It's different for the rest of the world. And for many people that watch this show, they have no idea who Rachel is. They have no idea, you know, whether or not, you know, what is her family going to be like, because they haven't had that experience. And by visualizing it and showing it on TV, it's just very important, I think.
Okay. I mean, I wish they would have just shown them be more similar to the other families.
But they are similar to the other families. She brought in...
No, that's what I'm saying. They are.
They
but
are.
They didn't show that. They only showed them talking to him about their color difference. They didn't show them, like, going into depth with conversations like the other families did, where it's like, what are you going to do after this? What would your life look like if you were together? They didn't show any of that.
So I will argue that there was some of that, but again, you know, we know how this show edits people down.
It's not a decision the family made. It's a decision that ABC made.
That is true.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
That is true.
It doesn't do them a service.
When you say them, do you mean ABC?
Them? I'm just saying it doesn't do ABC a service. Because this family is appearing on the next season of The Bachelorette.
Right. This is the first introduction to them that we have had.
This family will play a
major
co-starring role in the next season of their show. And
yeah.
I wish they would have shown more personality from them, you know?
Okay. I accept that.
That's what I'm saying. Also, Rachel's sister looks just like
her. Oh my God! Isn't that crazy?
I mean, she's not as hot as Rachel.
Genetics. But the same...
She's all the same features.
Face. The same face. It's crazy.
It's interesting.
The fact that Nick was wearing a suit to her date and nobody else's, that's something.
I think
the whole church thing was really very interesting, too. Because, I mean, of all of the other shows, you know, ABC does tend to cast people for The Bachelor that are pretty Christian-leaning, and they've never really shown anybody at church before. I think that was interesting. So, for it to be the experience that Nick was experiencing, amen is amen, as he said. So, and I love Rachel's brother-in-law. My favorite phrase of the night. So, you are white, and that is who you are. You are white, I can tell. This was a good date. I don't know.
All things considered, it seems similar to Raven's. Very kind of low drama, like, obviously everyone got along. There was no real, like, hiccups or anything.
No.
It just seems like a relatively, like, drama-free, kind of smooth hometown.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is great, because then we had two relatively more dramatic hometowns.
Yes, very dramatic.
Right?
Yes, I would call that very dramatic. Yes.
Kind of. One outwardly and one kind of inwardly, I think. So we go to Miami for Corinne's hometown.
And this is the date that I'm calling Confessions of a Shopaholic.
I think this date just... totally lost it for Corinne.
Wow. Tell us about it.
How could you possibly want to be with her? She proved, like, this date proves everything that you think Corinne is when you've seen her up into the season. When you see her in her natural habitat, she is exactly what you think she is. She is this young, spoiled, rich girl, going around spending her daddy's money, going home, having a nanny wait on her.
Right.
And like, it's the most telling part of their family is that everyone in the family is like, she's not a nanny. She's part of the family. And I understand that they mean that they like her and they respect her. And
she's been with the family for a very long time and all that stuff.
Except all of the people in this room, in this family, are related by blood or marriage. And this one person is being paid to be here.
And the other thing that was really...
And does all the chores.
The other thing that was really weird to me was that... And you know, The Bachelor, they choose every shot on the show. So just like you said about how it seemed like most of the focus of Rachel's date was, you know, the fact that Nick and Rachel would be in an interracial couple at the end of this thing. Yes. They chose to put together that narrative for her.
Yeah.
Now, they also chose to put the narrative together of Raquel at the end of Corinne's date clearing the tables at their dinner with the rest of the family looking out the window and watching Nick and Corinne walk out of the apartment complex. That was a choice.
That was the telling scene of the whole
episode. What a choice.
That was the thing. Corinne is, like, she is living in a delusion. She is just like Veruca Salt. She is like daddy's little rich girl going, I want it, I want it, I want it, and just getting things. She clearly does not run a business.
No.
Her dad does something.
And she makes a few meetings and takes a couple phone calls.
She's probably his assistant or something.
And she has some kind of allowance.
There's no allowance. She is a daddy's girl. She has a credit card that he pays.
I mean, the fact that she would, according to the show, however this has been orchestrated, that she would drop on an Amex, a silver Amex, okay, because we all know the color schemes of the Amex, on a platinum card, she would drop $3,000 on an outfit for Nick, when we all know that the show pays for all of his clothes. She didn't need to buy that.
I think
that's not a thing.
That's what I think is the poison pill for her. She takes him immediately off the plane, and they go shopping. They go shopping right away. She knows everybody in the store.
She's talking about herself in the third person.
They try on all this stuff. She spends all this money, and I like as a man who has occasionally been on dates with women before.
Just a few.
Yeah, just a handful. That is so wildly unattractive. You don't want to think, like, oh, cool, the way to keep this person happy is to spend a whole bunch of money on material things.
Right.
That is not an attractive quality in a person. And the kind of person who thinks that that is an attractive quality about themselves is exactly who Corinne is. Just a spoiled little daddy's girl who doesn't know anything and is just... She is just toxic for a relationship.
This was the moment where, you know, sometimes when... You know, when she was on the show before, you could kind of see it as kind of a playful thing. But this was the moment where I really felt her age. This was the date where I really felt her age. Especially for this date to come right after Rachel's date. I mean...
No, I mean, that's not her age. That's permanent. That's the way she is.
Yeah.
Like, she's only 23 or 24 or whatever. But that's the way she is. She is, in her life, she's going to just marry some rich guy because she's young and attractive. And by the way... The first time I saw Corinne in this episode, I thought to myself, you know what? She used to be attractive. And now I see her and I'm like, I could never think that a child is attractive. Because you couldn't. You could never look at like a 13-year-old and be like, that's a good-looking 13-year-old. And yet, that's exactly what I'm experiencing with Corinne now.
Right.
I look at her and I can't even... She's not even hot anymore.
No.
Because she's so... needy and immature.
She's infantile.
She is.
She's infantile. And, you know,
she has no chance.
She is. But you know what? We thought Christina could tell us about eating lipstick and she would coast all the way to the final two.
I thought
and
that was
now,
a lockup for
and
her.
And now look at us.
Yeah, but still, I don't know how anybody could possibly want to just sign up for a life of being her provider. Corinne is going to have just some man, currently her dad, probably later her husband, just buying her all these expensive things.
Which is something that her dad did mention, because, you know, of all of the things that people talk about on the show, all the questions that people ask, it's always like, where do you live? I mean, and it is that assumption that whoever is the bachelor or the bachelorette will go home to their hometown and, like, you know, go back to their life being a home renovator or
yeah,
will go back
fake.
To their
they
life
talk about it, but it's fake.
Being a salesperson. And Nick is truly one of the first people that doesn't have a job and hasn't had a job in a very long time.
The plan for these people is all the same. Right. They want to move back to LA and be celebrities.
I know, but the fact that somebody actually said, you know, can Nick make a living raising a family? I don't really know, because even Corinne said, well, he used to sell software. That was 4 years ago. What is he doing now? No one knows.
He makes enough money. You know what he's doing now? Appearing on TV, making more money than
anybody
who watches.
I know that. I'm just saying that, you know, addressing this sort of culture of celebrity and, you know, how is that lucrative in the long term is definitely a reasonable question to have. I mean, for people that have only been on this show one time, you know,
amateurs.
Right.
You assume
that somebody's going to go back home and continue to be a former baseball player. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for Nick, he doesn't have a job. Like, really doesn't have a job.
I mean, among his other unattractive qualities. He has to know. Like, Corinne lives in a delusion. It is just... And, like, that delusion is fine. But when you get married to somebody, that is your delusion. You know, whether or not you like it, you are the same now.
And talk about somebody who has truly benefited from the fantasy of this production. The flying all over the world, the wearing nice clothes, the champagne, free champagne.
She thinks this is just what it's like.
I mean, but that's how she lives her life even outside of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
I think.
You're probably right. And you know what? In the long run, it's not going to work out with Nick. She has to go. This date was it for her. And she's going to go somewhere. She's hot enough to just get married to some other rich
guy
who'll spend money on
her. She'll be on BIP,
whatever.
Without question. And not to bag on Corinne, I want to say one nice thing about her. I do feel like when she was with her family, she was more articulate than I have seen her be in quite some time. So
that's awfully generous of you, Taylor.
So there.
Do you have anything else about that?
Nope.
Let's go to Montreal.
Okay.
So this is the meat of the episode.
This is Adam's favorite part.
Favorite and then also least favorite. This is a dramatic roller coaster of a date.
The title of this date section featuring Vanessa is The Family, : We Don't Deserve Her.
Yeah. I just wrote down fake Italian people.
Oh,
and we'll get there.
Okay.
So here's exactly what happens. He flies and he flies to Montreal. They spend their one-on-one time together seeing her students, which is a phenomenally good time for everyone.
Adam, why don't you tell everybody how you feel about this?
So
that people can get a little bit of context about how
Vanessa
makes you feel.
Vanessa is a special ed teacher, so her students are adults, mm-hmm. who she teaches in two languages, mind you. They're French and English speaking. And this was heartwarming. We get to see them. They obviously love Vanessa, you know, obviously. They're like crying to see her again, you know, and they're all like, we love you. We can't wait to meet your boyfriend. He's so lucky. And they all get along and we make scrapbooks and like everyone is just crying. It's so wonderful.
Including Adam.
Maybe.
Adam has a lot of feelings.
You have no visual proof that
I don't.
Crying.
He was covering himself up with a blanket, so I'm not really sure whether tears were had or not.
Yeah, that would not hold up in a court of law.
It sure would.
He was covering himself with a blanket. Does not hold up.
Doing what?
Just making notes, obviously.
Sure.
Making notes.
And, you know, as I continue to say every time I see Vanessa in any instance, Adam, I'm so sorry that you didn't meet her first.
Man, she's, at this point, she's about as good as it gets.
Well, I'm so horned up.
But then what happened?
There's a second point.
Oh, boy.
So, actually, this date, like, there's a lot of me all over this date. So, actually, you too. So after we meet the class, everything, like, we're riding high.
We're riding high.
1 million.
We're on
like,
a wave.
Cloud level, higher than, like, we're so high.
It's crazy.
And then Vanessa's like, listen, just so you know, my parents are divorced, so we're going to go to two separate houses. We meet my mom and dad separately.
Right.
Right?
Which was interesting because I had never heard this from her before. And it was also interesting to say, you know, I want you to experience what real life is like for me splitting my time between two sets of families. And I was like, ooh, boy.
I mean, it's okay. That's pretty much what I've done for my whole life, you know.
As well as many children.
And it's not a bad thing, you know. Like,
no.
I had healthy families. Like, they, you know, I was half in one, half in another, and they were both healthy. It was good for me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that it appears to be the same way for her.
Yeah.
We don't really know what her relationship is like with her dad's side because of something we will talk about later. So here's what happens. So we go to mom's side, and she's like, listen, this is my big Italian family. This is mi familia, you know? And
yeah, it's like,
we're going to go have Sunday lunch. We're going to have all this food. We're going to have a million people. And
a million people.
And I'm sitting here, because I have a big, beautiful Italian family.
You do.
And it's like, nobody really cares about who's related to who. Like, everyone's just cousins, and like, we're all just related. And everyone is big and welcoming and so warm, and it's like, it's just beautiful. It's something that everyone in my family just loves to talk about, is how great the family is. So we show up at Vanessa's, and literally the table is set for this.
Yes.
We walk in, there's 100,000 people around the table.
A million people.
She's like,
this
is my aunt and my uncle and the neighbor and the dog walker and the mail guy.
And
they're like,
all
invited. Yeah, Noni and Nono. And like, they don't even speak English, which is wonderful. And then the tables turn.
Uh-oh.
And then the tables turn. We find out these are fake Italian people. These aren't even real Italian people. These are just, they just walked into an Olive Garden in Montreal, and they were like, you guys, your family, come on in here. You can just sprinkle some Parmesan cheese on yourself because you're an Italian family now. Because they...
So, Adam, what is your damage? What is
the
problem?
These people
okay.
were not nice.
Oh, wow.
They were not welcoming.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
My family and every other real Italian family would throw a parade for a new person joining the family. Perfect. It's the most important news of all time.
Mm.
After the resurrection of the Christ,
it is
the most important thing in the family to welcome new people warmly.
Italians do love the resurrection of Christ.
My family, I was having a conversation with my good friend, my Aunt Kitty, a while ago, where I said, Aunt Kitty, your family...
Now,
which
how old
is, very,
is Aunt Kitty? Aunt Kitty, so everybody knows?
I think 94.
Aunt Kitty is old.
She is wonderful.
She's
delightful. She is
just the cutest little young lady.
She's the cornerstone of the family. And I said, Aunt Kitty, why is your family so big?
Mm-hmm.
And Aunt Kitty said, it's because we welcome new people into our family. She didn't say it directly, but we steal people from other families and adapt them into ours with just overwhelming niceness.
Kindness and love and peace and joy.
I hope that this is what you, Taylor, this is the way you feel with my family. But that's the way that we treat people.
Yeah.
We new people. I'll drink to that.
Yeah.
I'll
drink a limoncello to that.
Her family was not like that.
So these women in her family, the mom, the sister, the aunt.
The brother, too, or whoever
the brother,
he was.
It was her brother.
A greasy guy.
right. Who had red hair, too.
Yeah,
and
what?
I was like, I don't think...
Listen, dude.
You don't... What?
You can unbutton that shirt all you want. You don't look Italian enough.
It's not happening. You know, I called all these women the Celine Dions because I was not sure who was who. They had a lot of feelings about Vanessa and this decision and the fact that there was no like concrete anything that her and Nick had talked about. And I'm like, you need to get up out of your sister's mouth and let her figure it out. I mean, they've only been dating for a month and a half, and most of the time they've only been hanging out in group situations. This is not the time to ask those kind of questions yet.
So what? New people. Mind ya. I mean, come on.
We eat.
Yeah.
We eat. Nose and all.
I was really offended by this. I thought we were going to get to see a representation of a big,
sure,
warm Italian family.
Sure.
They were hostile from the beginning.
But honey, maybe this is how Canadian Italian family operates. This is not how an American family operates. You know, cultures are really different.
I'm sorry. No, you're Italian or you're not.
Okay. All right.
Italian-American, Italian-Canadian, whatever.
Well,
the I part takes over the other one.
Well, I I think it's time for us to move on to Vanessa's experience at her dad's house.
Why don't you tell us what that was like, Taylor?
I would love to do the sound of the emergency broadcast system into the microphone, but I don't want to offend anybody. So as we were watching the show, Alameda County had a flash flood warning that we were warned about for about 10 minutes. So we missed the complete dialogue from Nick and Vanessa's visit to her father's place.
A comically absurd flash flood warning.
It was very long.
It was not like, warning, flash flooding in Alameda. Don't go there. Or something like that. It was this warning on TV. And there were like explicit directions. They're like, if you're in your car, stop driving. I was like, nobody's in their car. This is a TV advertisement. If you're outside, get inside. Okay. No one's outside. If they are, they know it's raining.
Yeah, they do.
So anyway.
Hope everyone in Alameda County is safe, though. Flash floods in California with all the rain that we have been having are just tremendous. They're awful.
And it starts like right when they're walking up
immediately when they're walking up to the door.
The absolute beginning of this segment is when it started.
Thank God and the Italian risen Christ that it stopped right as Nick was asking Vanessa's dad for her hand in marriage.
So like the beginning part of it is just Nick and Vanessa show up and they sit down with
her dad.
Yeah, they're sitting on a couch with her dad and like some woman. I assume maybe like a stepmother, but who knows? A friend, a coworker.
We were not introduced to this woman only because the emergency broadcast system had something else to say.
Yeah, so then Nick starts talking to Vanessa's dad and like we don't really hear what happens. And then all of a sudden it goes off and he's like, guess what? I'm going to ask for this blessing.
Right.
And her dad's like, I don't really think so. And Nick kind of mumbles for his way a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like at this point he really felt the gravity of the situation this time around. Because with everybody else he did ask sort of the family. But this time, I don't know, there was some vibe that I was getting. It was a little bit different, a little bit more intense, a little bit more personal.
See, I feel like with the first three families, Nick asked the parents or the dad or whoever he asked. He was like, listen, if we ended up together, would that be okay?
And it's interesting the language that he chose every time he said it. He said, if we choose as a couple to get engaged, it was not when I propose to your daughter. It was if, and that was very interesting to me.
I think that's because he knows he's not going to uphold his end of the bargain. So he's like, no, it's a decision we're going to make together. No, you're the bachelor. This is a decision you make.
Right.
And he knows he is not going to make it with those other three families.
Right.
And then with Vanessa's dad, he was like, so if I propose to her, you know.
Right.
Like, it was different.
It was different.
This is the one he cared about.
Right. It was different. And it was very clear that it was about Vanessa. So, of course, after some poking and prodding, dad said yes. Vanessa came back to sort of get the download from, get the gossip, get the gag from dad. And she asked the question that she should not have asked because Vanessa does not watch the show.
Oh,
and
big mistake.
Every time she asks these questions, I always feel so bad for her because I'm like, babe, you gotta watch the show. And if you
the show is
And if you don't watch the show, don't ask something you don't want to know about.
Yeah, the show's a template. He's not allowed to say I love you. He also has to ask every dad or mom or whatever. He has to ask every set of parents for the daughter's blessing or hand in marriage. Or whatever. He has to do that.
Exactly. That is sanctioned for the show. He also has to allow everybody to say that they love him. He also has to not say I love you back, Ben Higgins.
He also has to pick a ring with Neil Lane. Has to do all these things.
Yes,
and he has to not do things.
Yep, we have to have four people go to the hometown. We have to have sex with three people. It is just the rules of the show.
There have to be three other people still alive when you go to the hometown.
Bingo.
It has never, ever, ever been the case where somebody's like, I know who I'm going to pick with six or seven people left, and then they just get rid of everyone
But maybe this is how it happens on the Canadian version of The Bachelor. I don't know. I've never seen it.
I haven't either. But do people really think that, like, even if he's made up his mind, he still has to entertain a certain number of other
contestants? I know. I think, you know, people forget, but Vanessa, She got real bent out of shape when her dad was like, yeah, Nick said that he had asked everybody else's parents the same thing that he asked me. And she was like, shook. She was unhappy. So, I mean, I don't have any sympathy for her because she needs to watch the show. She's got to.
This is on her. I don't want it to be on her because I think she's wonderful.
I love it. I love Vanessa. We don't deserve her. But you know what? It is this, you know, sort of, and I don't know what this is. It's not preferential treatment. It's just she's got this idea of what this is supposed to be like. And when it doesn't turn out to not be what it's supposed to be like, she wiles out.
She needs to watch the show. She needs to watch the show and listen to 25 to Life.
Bingo.
What she needs to do.
Watch the show and listen to 25 to Life.
Also, she needs to realize I'm let down by her family.
Yeah, you are.
This is a step back for Italian people.
Yeah, you are.
You know?
I'm so sorry, Adam. But the food looked real good.
Obviously, the food was good. It's still Italian food.
You gotta make a sauce. Please. It's about a sauce.
I don't know if these people make a sauce.
I don't know. Look like
I bet these people buy a sauce.
No, don't.
They're not really Italian.
Please, don't say any garbage.
I don't think they're real.
So we get to the end of the episode. Nick flies all the women to New York where, you know, he is going to make his decision about who the final three are. And then 2 minutes out from the end of the episode, we get Dorfed.
Boom. Dorf. Little knock on the door. Dorf town.
Dorfman.
Population, all of us.
So Andy the Dorf Dorfman shows up. And I called this, Adam.
Taylor.
Ooh, I called this.
Taylor Nostradamus-esque over here. I predicted this. Like 20 minutes left to go. She goes, they're gonna go to New York. He's not going to pick anybody yet. We're going to get some big cliffhanger. And then the Dorf is going to show up right at the end. And you know what? It's exactly what happened.
Now, mind you, this was also in the teaser. However, we did not know that they were going to be in New York.
You know what? They tease you. They intentionally trick you on the teases, though.
They do.
Taylor saw right through it.
I did.
With her little magician eyes. She saw right through it. And
because they edited it as though it was like Vanessa that was walking up to the door and stuff. Like, because we didn't see the bottom of
her. All these brunettes from behind look the same.
The same. This is happening. So, you know, you walk up and you think it's Vanessa, like, trying to, like, you know, say that she's sorry to Nick about, like, being crazy. But no, you got dwarfed.
So, we're going to open up next season, or the next episode of the season. It's going to be Nick and the dwarf sitting in their room. And for anybody who had just has not seen previous
episodes. He's been living under a rock.
Andy the Dorf Dorfman was our fifth season of the show.
Yes.
This is a girl who was the Bachelorette. Nick appeared on her show, made it to the final two, and lost. Because she picked this goon, who is obviously a goon.
Exactly.
It doesn't have any, it says something about her. It also says something about Nick.
Like, and she wrote a book about both of them.
Yeah, she's like a lawyer too, so she's like smart. And
she's with it. And she's been living in New York pretty much ever since, living her best life, being a socialite, being hot, being very skinny.
Yeah.
It's been great for her.
Post-bachelor
life has been great to Andy the
Dorfman. Very high on Andy the Dorf.
High Dorfman, her dad. Love him.
Yeah. So she's going to show up. They're going to sit down. She's going to be like, listen, it's hard to be the person.
Right.
It's hard. You got to be sure of your decision.
You have to make tough choices. Like, I don't think, like, Andy's going to come back and now we're segueing into bold predictions. You know, I don't think she's going to come back and say, you know, I always cared about you and I love you. I made the biggest mistake of my life. Like, no girl.
It's going to be generic advice. Girl. Follow your heart. Like, listen, you know what to do. And he's going to be like, I already know I'm getting rid of Corinne. Like, so.
Right. Whatever. You know what to do. Follow your heart. Oh, this is so hard for me. Is it? Ugh. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, let's. Whatever. Do we need to make bold predictions?
What
could possibly be predicted?
My bold prediction is that, you know, Corinne goes home. But again, my other bold prediction could be that it's Raven. I don't know. And my other bold prediction is not going to be Rachel because we know that Rachel is in Finland. And if one more person asks me that, I'm going to fight you. No, I won't. Please don't think that. But I'm sorry. Everybody's like, well, Rachel has to go home this week. No! She's in the teaser in Finland, guys. She at least has sex with Nick. At least.
You can't just give these empty threats. You gotta maintain your edge, honey.
Well, I take it back. I will fight you.
Yeah, there you go. Very tiny fight.
I will fight you.
Yeah, very tiny, adorable fight.
Yes.
So anyway, whatever. We're gonna lose Corinne next week. We have to.
I hope.
There's no person alive who could not be put off by that date that she had. Guess what? The way to make me happy is to spend a bunch of money on me. Yay! Like, what? Who wants that?
So, who's your number four?
We have the same power rankings. Why don't you just tell the people? Start at the top. Go 1 to 4.
Number one is Vanessa, obviously. She had another challenging evening, but...
Family aside,
she is still winning. She has a great sort of experience, and I think her and Nick are MFEO, made for each other.
I don't know about that, but she's going to win.
Number two is Rachel. She had a great episode, and especially a very strong showing for her to be the next Bachelorette, for us to be opened up into her world and get to know her. This was a great move. She did well. She looked really awesome. I mean, love the vest, feeling it. It's all good for me.
I mean, she's doing as well as you can do, knowing that she's going to lose.
Exactly. Number three is Raven. Still had a good date, but not a lot of personality there.
There's a big gap between two and three.
Big gap. There's not a lot of personality there, but he still wants to have sex with her because she's got a great set of cans because we lost Danielle L.
I have nothing to add because you're giving them my talking points. Got it. So, you know.
Number four is Corinne. As we already know, she showed her age on this episode.
She's a caricature. She's not even a real person. She's a cartoon.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like Richie Rich or something. I mean, that's a bad example. She's,
no, it's a good example. All right. Well, no, Richie Rich was really nice.
Yeah, she's a cartoon.
Yeah.
It's hard to be attracted to a cartoon character.
And her sister's name was Taylor. Why does everybody have my name all of a sudden?
We got Taylor overload this season.
I'm not happy about this. We'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
I think my time on the Bachelor franchise is probably complete.
You get to be the Bachelor, you get to meet 25 at least amazing women, but...
It's not a normal environment. It's a very unrealistic situation. It's real to you. A lot of people ask me, how's Chris Harrison? Really popular. Dabbled in modeling a little bit. People really like TVs.